The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is Cruise Radio.
Now more than ever, you should consider trip insurance for any kind of trip you take, not just cruises. Get a free quote at tripinsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Very happy to have you here, my friend. Coming up on this week's show, Dan Skilkin, president of tripinsurance.com, will be here fielding your trip insurance questions. And I have to say, after sailing that 14-night cruise from London to Miami, quite a few incidents happened on there regarding people's health and such, and a couple of them didn't have insurance, so we'll tackle that as well. Staff writer Richard Sims is here with Cruise News. Jumping to him now. Hey, Richard.
Hello, Doug.
A couple of cruise lines have increased gratuities this week.
You know, where one goes, the other always follows. So when Princess raised their gratuities a few days ago, you and I kind of looked at each other and were like, yep, it starts now. And sure enough, right behind them came Norwegian. Guests received a letter telling them about the change, which goes into effect for Norwegian on January 1st. In the case, I think the thing that makes the Norwegian cruise line case so different is this is not the typical increase that we usually see. You know, we usually see prices go up like $1, maybe $1.50. But in this case, the majority of staterooms will go up $4. So the new price is going to be $20 per person per day for most staterooms, with the Haven and suites going up to $25 per person per day. That is not an insignificant amount of money. So, you know, if you do the math here, if you have a family of four doing a seven-night sailing, that means your cruise just got anywhere from $560 to $700 more expensive. I say this every single time we do one of these stories, but it just baffles me as to why they don't just roll that into the price of the cruise overall so that they can raise it at whim. They can raise it, you know, $50 and nobody would know. But they don't, you know, they don't do that. And so every time there's an increase like this, you hear the people complain. I mean, why wouldn't they? Who's not going to complain about an increase of, you know, $560 to $700 for your cruise? That's especially in this, you know, this economic time that we're in right now, that's a fairly significant chunk of change.
It feels like if you keep jacking those gratuities or service charges up, people are just going to want to remove them once they get on board.
I completely agree. And that's, you know, one of my big fears is, you know, that will be exactly what people do. People will say, you know what, I tip people, I tip the bartenders, I tip the waiters. And of course, the money, it's important for people to realize that the money that the daily gratuity takes into effect, that actually goes to people that you don't interact with. You know, it goes to behind the scenes people as well. It goes to others. So please, please, please don't take your gratuities off. I know it's a lot of money, but it is actually going to a good cause. Now, of course, you can make the argument that the cruise line should just pay their people, you know, what they should be earning, and then they don't have to charge all of us that much money. But that's another argument entirely.
I mean, if you don't agree with the company's policies, just don't support the company then, right? Like, you can go to Virgin where the tips are included.
Yeah, that's very true.
Carnival introduces new programs aimed at children, teens, and families.
Carnival's making a pretty big move in the youth department here. These new programs are being rolled out on Carnival Celebration, but they're hoping to have them implemented fleet-wide probably by spring of next year. The biggest change is they're introducing a new program called Turtles, which is for travelers under the age of two. It's going to feature a wide variety of activities, but the coolest is called, what's it called? It's called Baby Turtle Trek. And this basically will have toddlers crawling on what the company is calling a, quote, custom-made ocean mat. I have no idea what that means, but their family will be cheering them on the other side. Now, in my head, what I see is, remember the turtle races that you had when you were a kid? And I really hope that it's like that, like the kids are lined up and the parents are on the sides making bets, you know, my kid will take your kid any day. But anyway, it sounds like a total blast. They're also introducing interactive elements to the Dr. Seuss Bookville area, where you'll have, like, for example, they'll have Thing 1 and Thing 2 helping families put on a show, or Sam I Am leading a search for green eggs. I'm guessing it won't be ham as well, because that would get a little messy, especially if, like, you didn't find the ham and it ended up, you know, stinking up the place. But there's also going to be new programs for teens. There's a ton of them coming. So it's, you know, Carnival has always prided itself on being the number one carrier of families, and this is another way for them to sort of up their claim in that market.
They're quick to tell you that, too.
Oh, yes, they are.
And speaking of Carnival, another story here. They've gone back and forth on this one, and it looks like it's back for good, or at least for now, regarding a drink policy.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of like at the end of the play, Avenue Q, when they sing the song, "It's Only for Now." That's basically what Carnival did here. So they kind of decided that they were going to take away the ability for people to buy pre-cruise bottles of booze. You know, you can pay some money, and when you arrive in your room, there's a lovely bottle of Tito's there, or a bottle of tequila, or whatever you happened to pre-order. They took that away and said they were no longer going to be offering that. But then they got a lot of negative feedback, so they said, okay, we are going to bring that back, but we're going to limit it to one bottle of booze per room. Now, in addition, they also really hiked the prices. Like, those bottles are now really, really pricey. According to Carnival, this is their latest attempt to curb some of the bad behavior that's been on the rise since the restart. But, you know, I'm a skeptic. I am totally a skeptic. And so it won't surprise you to hear that I don't for a second think that's the whole story. If that were the case, they'd put in place a rule saying, like, okay, if you want to buy a bottle of booze, that's fine, but you then can't buy the drink package. Or they would limit the number of drinks. Like, right now you can get 15 drinks, 15 alcoholic drinks per 24-hour period on the Cheers package. They would say, you know what, we're going to dial that back. 10 is a reasonable number, whatever. Of course, that would cause an absolute uproar. But in either case, I just don't think that we're getting the whole story when they say that that's the reason that they're only allowing people to buy one bottle of booze. And in fact, my personal theory is that this is an attempt to get more people to buy the drink package. You know, it's a lot more convenient for them if you buy the drink package. They're making a lot of money on it, obviously. They don't have to, you know, worry about stocking the rooms. They don't have to have people running around putting those bottles of booze in everybody's room. It just to me, I don't know. It just doesn't seem quite kosher. But like I said, I'm a skeptic.
Hold on, I'm pulling up my drink of choice here, which is Tito's vodka. And I know before the shutdown, I paid, it was like $75 for the bottle of Tito's. I'm pulling it up now. Okay, here we go. Tito's vodka, $135 a bottle. Richard, and get this, at the grocery store right down the street here in San Marco, $21 for that same bottle.
I mean, it's not unusual that you're going to pay more for something on a cruise ship, but that's outrageous.
$100 more?
From $75 to $135. That's insane. And there are people who will tell you, you know, that if you measure it out and, you know, per shot and how much you get in there and what you would pay per drink at a bar, blah, 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 then it works out to be a deal. But I'm sorry. There is no way you are ever going to convince me that it is worth $135 to have one bottle of booze in my room. No, just no.
100% agree with that. That's insane to me, that price there. You got to be crazy to buy that or just really want that Tito's. Royal Caribbean has some bad news for some guests on the world's largest cruise ship. What happened here?
This is kind of crazy to me. So apparently, cruise guests who are booked on Wonder of the Seas got a letter, and this is what it said. quote, "We're sorry to inform you that due to an unexpected inventory error, your scheduled Wonder of the Seas December 11th, 2022 sailing is currently oversold in certain stateroom categories." So this is basically the equivalent of when you go to the airport and you've got your ticket and you're like, woohoo, I'm going to fly home. And then they tell you, oh, you don't have a seat on this plane. But wait, I bought a ticket. Clearly, I do have a seat on this plane. No, sorry, you don't. This is the exact same thing. So what they are doing is they haven't really explained how this happened. But what they're trying to do is they have said to guests, if you agree to move into an interior stateroom. So clearly it is, you know, balconies and above that were basically, or maybe even ocean views and above that were overbooked. So what they're saying is if you agree to move to an interior cabin, let's say you booked a balcony and that is the category that's oversold. If you agree to move to an interior balcony, you will get a 100% refund for the cruise. So you're basically going to cruise for free. You know, you're taking the same cruise, you're just doing it in a different cabin. Like I said, they still haven't explained exactly how this happened. The other question is, what happens if they run out of interior rooms? You know, like, what if so many people are like, okay, I'll take that deal, that they then run out of interior rooms? There's a chance that some people will still have their cruise actually canceled. You know, it really depends on how many people take them up on this offer and how many people they overbooked by. That's another thing that they haven't really come out and said, is how many of the staterooms they overbooked. But this is, you know, not exactly an ideal thing. Imagine, you know, you're getting ready this weekend to go on a cruise and this week you find out, oh yeah, I might not have a stateroom on that ship.
And with typical cruise line disclosures, we will never know how much they overbooked it by.
Exactly. We will never know.
Yeah, well, I guess that's not a bad deal though, if you want to be on the inside for 7 days. As long as you're not claustrophobic, you should be fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great deal. I mean, yeah, I always book a balcony because I really want a balcony. I always say, don't go in hoping for an upgrade, you know, book the cabin that you want. But I also would probably not book something expecting a downgrade. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I could do a week in an interior. I know you've done it many a time, but I'm a little too, I need a view.
Yeah, about to do it again, too. All right, final talking point here. A new ship is in the U.S., and currently it's right down the street from you up there in New York.
It is. The MSC Seascape has arrived in Manhattan. This is kind of a big deal because over the last couple of years, MSC has been making really serious inroads in the U.S. market. They'd like nothing more than to push one of the big three sort of out of the way, or at least be considered, you know, kind of in that top tier. And this is another move in that direction. For the first time, they've brought a new ship, the MSC Seascape, to New York City for her naming ceremony at the Manhattan Cruise Terminal. The ship will not be staying there. It will immediately be turning around and sailing to Miami, which is where she'll be homeported doing Eastern and Western Caribbean sailings. But this is indicative of MSC's future plans because starting this spring, they will be moving the Meraviglia here to do full-time sailings out of the New York City area. So, you know, that has not happened before. That is, again, you know, another market that they are breaking into. They've already got ships in Florida. They've obviously got lots of ships overseas, but they are now making a play for the New York City market, which normally is, you know, I guess it's safe to say that Norwegian kind of owns the New York City market because they usually have at least one ship, if not several, here year-round. Carnival also does sailings out of here. Princess does some sailings out of Bayonne. But Norwegian is, you know, year-round out of here. And that is something that MSC has clearly taken a look at and said, hey, that's a market that we can do some competition in.
Yeah, and MSC has that FU money, too, where they don't really care how much it costs them or if they send a ship out empty because it's just basically a hobby for them and a tax write-off for that container company they have.
See, I learned something new. Every week with you, Doug, I learn something new.
Probably not professional to say FU money, but we're going to call a spade a spade.
Yeah, you know, we're all about the honesty here.
Yeah.
We are transparent and disclose everything.
Staff writer Richard Sims, as always, thanks, my friend.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Doug.
You have questions. We have answers. Get the whole story on cruiseradio.net.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance?
Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
Have a question or a comment for the show?
Yeah!
Send an email or voice memo to Doug@cruiseradio.net.
We always like to talk with the president of TripInsurance.com, Dan Skilkin. Dan, welcome to the show, my friend.
Doug, thank you. Thank you for having me on and hoping everybody's having a good holiday season.
So far, so good. I got a question. It's kind of a relevant story here because there was a 28-year-old gentleman who went overboard, Carnival Valor. Now, he doesn't remember what happened, but oddly enough, he didn't have any kind of an insurance. And now there's a GoFundMe page to help pay this guy's insurance bill for going overboard the ship. However he got there, he went overboard. What are your thoughts on this? And have you ever seen anything like this before?
Doug, we haven't seen a claim like this where someone has fallen overboard in the middle of, you know, nowhere and come. I mean, this guy lost consciousness when he hit the water, and when he became conscious, the boat wasn't there at all. So he's floating out there. I think it was overnight. Didn't it take them almost 24 hours to find him?
Yeah, 20 hours he was treading water.
20 hours. So, which is, you know, amazing that he could survive in those conditions. The real question of the hour and the curious one is that cruise companies release footage pretty quickly if somebody is horsing around and falls off a rail. You know, when they hold back and they don't say anything, there are a lot of other circumstances that you have to think about. One of them that I'm concerned about is if he was drunk and he fell like this. Most travel insurance won't cover a claim. They'll deny a claim if the reason for the claim is because you were drunk. So, for instance, if you fell down the stairs on board the ship because you were drunk, one of the things the insurance company may ask you is whether or not, you know, how much drinking that you had been doing as to whether or not they're going to cover the claim. Certainly, he wouldn't have needed a GoFundMe page for medical bills in this particular case if he had travel insurance. Travel insurance will cover the cost of your medical bills during your vacation and any delay in returning home because of the accident. But I've seen a lot of accidents like this, and it's important to have the travel insurance. My brother-in-law's family was traveling with his in-laws, and his mother-in-law and the whole family were waiting to disembark the boat. And of course, she's in the front of the line. She's got to get off early. And they hadn't finished pulling up the gangplank completely. They had the gangplank up there, but they hadn't pulled up all the guardrails, you know, on the gangplank. She steps off, and she takes one step too many, and she drops two stories between the boat and the dock.
Ouch.
Straight into the water. And my brother-in-law's looking down thinking, am I supposed to jump down there to try to save her? I mean, this was really dangerous. Fortunately, the crew scrambled to help her, and amazingly enough, she wasn't hurt, you know, just a few bruises. But, you know, people don't realize that a lot of accidents can happen on board a ship. This one of the strangest claims we ever had was a guy's wife had broken her hip during a belly dancing contest on board the ship. And to prove the claim happened while they were on board the ship, which was kind of funny because most of the time you have a doctor's report from on board that'll tell them what the problem was. They took an X-ray right there on board, and they knew she had a broken hip, and they had to medically evac her back home. He sent in videotape showing her breaking her hip during this belly dancing contest. And I don't think she was drunk, but he had probably had a pretty fair amount to drink because the video was pretty funny because he's filming mostly the other women gyrating on the dance floor, and his poor wife, you can hear her writhing around on the on the floor with this broken hip, and he just keeps filming.
Oh Lord!
Finally, he had to stop and help her. But it's important for people to realize that they got to be careful about how much they drink on board. But the travel insurance will cover your medical costs, and they can be quite high, as you know, anytime you have to report to the infirmary on board the ship.
Yeah. My question is, though, like, okay, so this dude goes overboard, and it's about $250,000 bill that the Coast Guard is going to pass on to the person's family or the person involved with this. Let's just say he wasn't drinking. Travel insurance wouldn't cover a search and rescue cost, though, would it? Because he went overboard. I don't know. I don't want to speculate here, but would they cover something like that?
Generally speaking, no. They will cover a medical evac. In other words, if you got really sick or really hurt, you had a heart attack on board the ship and they can't treat you on board the ship, they'll cover the cost of airlift, you know, and bringing in a helicopter and then getting you to the nearest port and then an emergency medical airplane back home can be a good $250,000. It'll cover all that cost, but generally not search and rescue. And so the cruise line, first of all, is trying to figure out, okay, was there negligence of a crew member not putting up proper protection? Generally speaking, that's really rare. And so they're really trying to understand, but those kinds of bills can be quite high. You're absolutely right. Just trying to find the guy. I'm just amazed they could find him if you think about what it takes to find somebody bobbing in the ocean.
Yeah.
For 20 hours.
Yeah, and they covered 7,000 square miles. Yeah, that's wild to me for sure. Dan, our first listener question asks about the change of an air itinerary. And if your itinerary was changed, would travel insurance pick up?
This is a great question because we had a recent question come in regarding a situation where the client purchased travel insurance for their Australian New Zealand cruise. And the airlines recently changed their travel schedule. So they were on a very tight connection from Queenstown to Auckland, and then they had business class tickets from Auckland back to Dallas. And they wanted to know if they missed their flight back to the States because of a travel delay in that connecting flight, would they be covered for the extra cost to purchase a new ticket? Well, travel insurance does a really nice job of covering travel delays, particularly getting you to your cruise. They all have a minimum delay time, so you got to look at that in the policy. For instance, U.S. Fires is a 3-hour minimum delay. So if your plane is delayed and you miss the boat, travel insurance will cover the lost portion of the cruise. So if you lost a day or two of the cruise, they'll cover that cost, and they cover the extra cost to get you to your next port of call. But a tight connection like this coming home where the plane is perhaps 1 hour late and you miss your connection getting home, they may not cover that extra cost to purchase that replacement ticket. So there's always a time limit on when travel delay and misconnection kicks in, and sometimes they're different numbers, and a separate set of covered reasons for the trip interruption portion of your plan. Travel delay covers the extra cost of hotel, food, and local transportation if you're stuck in an airport due to a travel delay like weather or a general airline delay or even an illness like COVID. So this is really important for people that are traveling during this Christmas season to buy travel insurance, even just to cover their airline tickets, because if they get stuck in an airport, look, the travel insurance will cover the cost of their hotel. And then that's generally pretty inexpensive. Now, misconnection coverage covers the extra cost of replacement travel arrangements, generally due to a common carrier delay. So trip interruption covers having to return home because of a covered reason. So trip interruption is different than these other two features. The trip interruption is covering you returning because of a covered reason like an illness or an injury. It's generally the same cancellation covered issues that are mirrored in the travel insurance plans to cover trip interruption. So generally what they're covering for trip cancellation before you depart is roughly the same features that they have on trip interruption. And this is going to cover you, for instance, if you get hurt and you've got to be medically transported home, they're going to cover the balance of your vacation time as well as the extra cost to get you back.
I have a listener email here that I actually just came across, and he says, I flew from Denver to London and my bag never showed up until day 7 of my 14-night trip. I had to spend over $900 in clothes and sundries at the cruise line's gift shop. Would travel insurance have reimbursed me for any of that?
It will. Baggage delay is covered, and they generally cover, you know, some kind of limited amount per day up to a particular limit. You know, so they may have a per day amount or they may have a total coverage amount. A lot of plans, for instance, will have a $250 a day coverage limit for incidentals and extra clothing, up to like a limit of $500. So $500 of that $900 he had to spend would have been covered. And this is an interesting issue, but it comes up a lot right now in people losing their baggage, and particularly on board the ship, because it's very difficult to get the baggage delivered. A lot of times the baggage may still be waiting in that first departure port for them. And so, yes, travel insurance will cover those extra expenses.
Let's just say Delta did some reimbursement for him. Could you double dip and claim this as well against your personal policy?
Typically, baggage coverage in a travel insurance plan is secondary to what the airline pays you.
Okay.
So let's say his full claim is $900 and the airline is willing to pay $400 of it.
Mm-hmm.
The other $500 can be claimed on his travel insurance, and you can absolutely make a claim on both.
His email to me inspired me because he had an Apple AirTag in his luggage, and he's so glad he put it in there because he's able to track where it was until it finally caught up with him in Grand Canary, he said.
This is the most brilliant thing that has come out recently, and they originally were upset about people putting these tags in bags, but the reality of the situation is I've had two clients that told me they were able to accelerate getting their bag delivered because they told the airline, they looked at their phone and they told the airline exactly what airport the bag was in. So the bag had gotten misrouted and the airline is trying to find this bag. And when they said, oh yeah, it's in Heathrow, they said, what's it doing up there? And they called the Heathrow Airport and they found it and they got it delivered very quickly. So that is probably, in my opinion, one of the most brilliant inventions that Apple, for instance, has come out with, of being able to put a tag like that in your bag and being able to track it.
Our last listener question here, Dan, it says, can I insure just the deposit of my trip with an insurance policy?
If you're buying a plan that doesn't have cancel for any reason coverage, typically you can insure just the trip deposit. A lot of cancel for any reason policies will require you to insure the total cost of the trip that is subject to cancellation penalties, not just your deposit. Although a recent feature of U.S. Fire's policy on our site is that they now do not require you to insure the total cost of the trip in order to get canceled for any reason. So this is actually really important because people that are buying a cancel for any reason policy, if they have to insure the total cost of the cruise, and the cruises can be quite expensive, even though they've made a $500 deposit and most of their payments are not due for another year, they're paying upfront for the travel insurance for the total cost of the cruise. And so they may have over $1,000 in travel insurance coverage when they've only got a $500 deposit on the trip. And so you look at this and say, this is way out of whack. And if the cruise gets canceled, now they've got to contact the travel insurance company to get their money back on the travel. But with U.S. Fire, you can insure each of the deposits as you make those deposits and add to the policy. So one of the most common questions we have is people say, I haven't finished making all my travel arrangements. When should I buy my plan? Should I wait until I've got all of my arrangements made? You know, I booked my cruise and I've made a deposit on my cruise, but I haven't bought my airline tickets yet. When should I buy the travel insurance? Well, you should always buy your travel insurance plan within 14 days of making any initial deposit on your trip, particularly on a cruise. And just insure the deposit. That way you're going to get cancel for any reason coverage, you're going to be eligible for that, or you're going to be eligible for a pre-existing condition waiver that might be included in the plan. And then every one of the travel insurance companies will let you contact them to increase your coverage, increase your trip cost. So in the case of tripinsurance.com, it's very easy. You just send us a quick email to support@tripinsurance.com and say, hey, I just made my airline reservations and I want to increase my trip cost for my plan to this particular level. And we contact them. Because we don't save credit card information for everybody's protection. And we'll contact them and let them know what the new premium is, and they just pay the difference. In every one of these travel insurance policies, there is no penalty for insuring this way. You're just paying the difference in the premium from what your original premium was based on your original trip cost to what the new trip cost is. And in our particular case, if your trip cost goes down, if you suddenly got a better deal on the vacation, we refund the difference if you just let us know what your new trip cost is.
Just so we're tracking on the same page here, Dan, next year I'm taking a pretty big trip and there's a $1,000 deposit due, and then I'll owe an additional $6,000 60 days before the voyage. So I could just insure the deposit if I wanted to?
Exactly.
Okay.
You just got to be careful about that. If you're buying a cancel for any reason plan, you just got to make sure that they have a provision that will allow you to insure just the deposits. Every plan out there will let you increase the trip costs as you make your travel arrangements. And most cancel for any reason plans say in their language, you have 14 days from the time you make your new trip arrangements to contact the insurance company, to contact us, to increase your trip cost, and then you pay the difference.
Gotcha.
And then they're covered. And that protects your cancel for any reason coverage. In the case of U.S. Fire, they'll let you insure the deposits. But companies like Nationwide require you to insure the total cost of the trip up front. So that could be a lot more expensive. But if you're not buying cancel for any reason coverage, it's not an issue at all for any policy. So you're exactly right, Doug. The best thing to do is to insure the risk that you have outstanding, the money that you've already paid for the trip. And as you pay more money, increase your insurance coverage at that time.
Very good. Dan, if anyone has any questions for you, how can we get a hold of you?
Please send us an email at support@tripinsurance.com. We're happy to answer any questions people have, whether or not you're buying your travel insurance from us. We hope everybody has a great holiday season and then plans their next cruises coming up. You know, we got a busy season coming up after between January and May. Everybody starts to book their cruises. Give us a call. Check out our website because we're sure we can get you better coverage at a better price than you're going to get wherever you're buying, particularly when you're using a comparison site like ours instead of buying directly from a travel supplier.
I got to tell you, Dan, on that 14-night sailing I just did, we had four separate medical incidents on board, and two of them I know for a fact didn't have travel insurance policies, and my heart just broke for them because one had to get lifted off on a helicopter. So it's just I don't know why you wouldn't travel with one, especially going overseas. And as I'm realizing, the older I get, the more coverage I'm taking out as well.
I don't think people realize, Doug, just how expensive the onboard medical treatment can be as well. Let's be practical about this. They are trying to staff a hospital on board a cruise ship, and it can be very expensive just to have a bone set or an x-ray done. And you're generally not covered outside the United States except for emergency medical services for most insurance plans. So, and the medical evac is crazy. And be careful belly dancing.
Or I was listening, you were laughing about your sister-in-law walking off the side of the ship, so I'm glad she wasn't hurt or your wife would kill you.
Exactly. So,
been talking with Dan Skokin, president of tripinsurance.com. Dan, hope you and the family have a Merry Christmas. Thanks again for stopping by.
You too, Doug.
All right, Dougie, let's see what we got for you, buddy.
Cruise Radio is produced at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Get cruise news, ship reviews, and money-saving tips every Thursday on Cruise Radio. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show. If you want to help spread the word, give Cruise Radio a 5-star review. Find Cruise Radio where you listen to your favorite podcast or online at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.